Danny Hood Ministries presents The Hope Zone. Today's message of hope will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
The other day, I was standing in the ocean. The rolling waves pounded me. It was fun. A wave would come in and slam toward the shore. Then I could feel the riptide pulling me out to sea. I would regain my balance, stare at the taut wire of horizon separating the two blues, the aqua blue of the ocean water and the sunlit blue of the sky. I would wait, and then another powerful wave would punch me, knock me back, and carry me to shore. I was in that ebb and flow of the powerful waters, but a storm was coming, hence the reason the surf was so adventurous to begin with. Others around me were giggling. Kids were flipping up over the waves, and some were pulled out by the strong riptide so far that they would swim hard to get back to shore. Or some of them had to grab the buoy rope just to pull themselves back in. We were caught up in this endless cycle of waves. Each wave was compared with another. Oh, here it comes. This was going to be a big one. And then it might fizzle out, turn out to be just another wimpy wave with little impact. This went on for hours. We laughed when enveloped by a wave. We giggled and gurgled, spitting out salty seawater. And when it was all over, we limped back to our rooms, drenched, tired, and ready to eat a whale. Now think about it. Waves of fear. I wonder if you've felt them recently. Do they come in bunches, or do they just come occasionally, the periodic slam of anxiety? Well, my friend, fear has torment. And sometimes the rogue waves of gargantuan strength that knock you down, and you wonder if you're ever going to get back up. You wonder when the breath starts to go and the overwhelming sense of drowning comes over your mind, if you will ever get your senses back. Maybe you trusted someone who turned out to be a rogue wave. You gave them your word, and they gave you a splitting headache that no aspirin can seem to cure. You gave them some money for an investment, and they gave you an apology for wrongly using it and then losing it. And now you're overcome with a constant ebb and flow of, do I trust? I can't trust. Do I trust? I can't trust. Trust again. You can't trust. Fearing when someone gets too close, making a run for it, before they want too many details about your life or about what you do. Luke 21:25 says this, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." You see, fear is what you think the world might do, but faith is what you know God will do. Here is the fundamental difference and reason for having a relationship with God. Jesus Christ gives a message of hope for believers and to those who need to believe, who need to be converted from atheistic tendencies to biblical faith. For he said in response to all the things that we could be afraid of, that we could allow the waves of fear to rule in our minds and hearts. He said, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So you see, when you are being swept up in the tide of fear, in the anxious, white-capped waves of dread and trepidation, think about something else that is coming, or rather, someone else who is coming. You see, as men and women, we base our fears on what we see coming on the earth, the rolling waves of destruction headed to our shores of dreams and plans. And sometimes, it's what we see and hear coming from television and radio waves, the constant negative, the ongoing calamities, the pictures of destruction flashed on the screen, the desperate voices captured on radio, the perpetuating violence of terrorism. Wave after wave of information fills the heart with dread. Wave after wave of terrifying images numbs the soul to the call of God, and it desensitizes us to the tenderness of His mercy. We are too busy staring at the unexplainable disaster. We are too enraptured by the celebrity who just went on a verbal rant and jeopardized his reputation. We are too enamored with flash floods, tornadoes, exploding bombs, and abducted people. And our minds get too cluttered to even know that Jesus' voice is so close. Our hearts get too piled up with junk news and headline report that we cannot hear His soft whispers of grace. And we become too influenced by what we see coming in the world. But He wants you to know that He is coming. He is the ultimate hope to watch for on the horizon. Past the tornado-filled storm clouds that loom over the plains, past the hurricane images circling the global map and stirring up a calm sea, past the hooded terrorists threatening to come to your neighborhood, past the celebrities who can't behave right, past the pandering politicians who cannot keep the truth in their mouths. He wants you to see Him coming. Coming to your world of loneliness, coming to your prison of fear, coming to your mountaintop where you feel stranded, coming into your heart. For when you look for Him, you won't spend as much time seeing the horror. When you look for Him, you know hope is coming and that your future is secure. When you look for Him, you won't get caught up in just gazing at what headlines are saying or what the stock market report is saying. When you look for Him, you won't worry about hell looking for you. For in Christ, you have redemption over regrets. You have power over emotional pain. You have peace over calamity. You have joy over judgment. You have truth, which is far more powerful than the enemy's threats. This is why the Jesus message of redemption drawing nigh is so important for everyone. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you are stumbling along life's path, searching for answers to your existence, stop here. Look at His Word. Listen to His voice speak to you from the pages. For there is a pull in everything. Sin, my friend, has a riptide. At first, it may be a slight tug as you enjoy the flow of pride, as you enjoy the waves of sensation, as you live your life from one temptation to another. But eventually, that pull becomes stronger. But the more powerful the wave of sin, the stronger the pull to destructive depths. How long can you just be a casual social drinker before the riptide of alcoholism pulls you under? How long can you overuse the prescription drugs before the riptide of substance abuse drags you to places you really don't want to go? But there is something with a stronger pull, the river of God. Its currents derive from the heart of the Almighty Himself. It flows with power. And when you get in the flow of His grace and mercy, it will overpower the pulls of sin and temptation. Fear can be a powerful motivator, but it should not be the only motivation or the conclusion of the motivation. If fear drives you to God, then your fear becomes less intimidation and more awe-inspired. It becomes less tormenting and more respect-initiating. God doesn't want you to dread Him. He wants you to simply be amazed by Him. Now, if you're going to persist in sin, then dread is the end option. If you're going to build walls of pride, then torment flames will eventually engulf those walls. So, let fears and let the waves of fear drive you to Him, not be the drive of who you are or what you do. In the Old Testament, Jacob crossed over a river one night, motivated by fear. He was on a collision course with his brother Esau. He had sent a large caravan of gifts to his ill-countenanced brother, hoping to bring a smile, hoping to assuage his brother's thirst for his own blood. So, he girded his robe and walked through the cold waters of the river Jabbok, which served at that time as a watery borderline between the kingdoms of Sihon at Heshbon and Og at Bashan. And underneath the blazing stars, among the rocky ridges where desert owls mocked wounded prey, Jacob wrestled with God. His vice-gripped desperation wouldn't let the angel go until events changed, until destinies were revealed. Moonlight draped the night in a silver sheen as man and angel scuffled. Jacob was caught in the waves of determination, the ebb and flow of desire and burden. And after the scrapping, punching, straining, sighing, and agonizing injuries, Jacob limped away with a new name. He came that night motivated by fear, but he left empowered by faith. So, you stand at the shore. The shore is your dreams. The tide comes in with great expectations, but then it quickly subsides, pulling sandcastle hopes out to the depths. Yet another wave brings possibility crashing in, and sometimes the surf pushes the water further in. Instead of there being ankle-deep water, it comes to your knees, and then smiles come. Eyes are wide, words of ambition are birthed, back and forth, in and out, the salty sea attacks, and then frightfully retreats. How long will the dream be given and yanked away? How long will you stand at the edge of breakthrough before you decide that you can no longer wait? You will not wait for the surf to decide, for the next wave to bring in your hopes. You will push forward. You will step into the depths and let the currents of conviction pull you to places in God that you thought only to be a fairy tale. For if you pray that prayer, the depths of grace are there to be discovered. If you seek His face, as the Word of God tells us, then His mercies are beyond measurement. They are the endless waves of His love for you, of His desire for you to be free from the shores of human limitations, for you to find and discover how awesome His love and His power and His word and His grace and the things of His kingdom are. You see, waves are what we see on the surface. But what occurs in the depths? Why let what you see dictate your life? Why let only the sensations of the next wave, the next human invention, determine how far you go in God, how far you go in believing God? Job 9:8 says, "Which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea." High waves that are produced by storms on the deep sea. Can you see the curdling clouds spoiling the calm waters? The thunder booms and the waters get upset. The anger of the tempest increases and the sea begins to throw a tantrum. Little 5-foot waves mutate into monsters. Towers of destruction begin to rise, and the storm-caused stress looks for land, hunts for anything to slam its anger against. And if these waves find you, they will consume you, crash down on your visions, disintegrate what's left of your sanity. But wait. Something more powerful is in the storm. Not the waves, not the wind, but His word. Think about it. He walks on the top of the highest waves. That means no matter how big the wave gets, it can only touch the bottom of His feet. If He can walk on the highest waves of the most intense storm, where can He walk with you? Through a divorce? Over an addiction? In and out of emotion flames and guilt torment, into the furnaces of a relationship conflict, to the summits of personal struggles? My friend, God can walk with you anywhere if you trust Him, if you will believe that every word that He's ever said is 100% absolutely truth. To a man now facing the most difficult financial dilemmas of your life, trying to stay above the waves of one financial setback after another, I offer you the powerful words of faith mentioned by Paul in Ephesians. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all. You see, if you have faith in God, you can follow Him through the storm. You can rise above the waves of stress, crippling your self-confidence. You may have lost several jobs and your resume may be buried in a stack on several desks. God sees your situation, and if you talk to Him, He can show you a way where there seems to be no way. And when you see Him, you will know there is always a way. The Egyptian hieroglyphic for what was not possible to be done was a man walking on water. Job 38:11, and said, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." The pride of thy waves, a beautiful image. The waves seem to advance in pride and self-confidence, as if nothing could stay them. They come as if exulting in the assurance that they will sweep away everything. In a moment they are arrested and broken, and they spread out humbly and harmlessly on the beach. God, you see, fixes the limit or boundary which they are not to pass, and they lie prostrate at his feet. So, when the waves of darkness come at you, my friend, you need to know that they are limited. They may boast destructive powers as hate speeds to your heart, but they spray away helpless in watery fragments when they hit the rocky borders of his presence. You need God, my friend. You can't make it without him. He is the true hope of all humanity. He is the mental refuge for those struggling with waves of depression. He is the stronghold of grace that resists the raging seas of condemnation. You may be accused of something that you've done or haven't done, but if you give your heart completely to God, let the river of his Spirit prevail in every crack and crevice of your soul, and I'm telling you today, nothing is impossible. The winds and the waves of hell may have intentions against you, but all the Master has to do is say, "Stay," and like a trained dog yielding to his owner's authoritative voice, the boisterous elements of Satan's attack will stop immediately or will subside at the edge of your faith. With God, you don't have to be threatened by Lucifer's advance, for you will be shielded by a light advantage. Treachery will not prevail. Truth will prevail. You see, where God begins, defeat ends. So let God begin a work in your life. Change can come. Things can be better. Life doesn't have to be the ongoing bitterness, the constant loneliness, the regrets that pile up at your door, and you can't even get out. Rivaling emotions can be replaced with peace. And God gives peace that passes all understanding. We are no doubt living in a world of intense surges. Stock market numbers have a nerve-twisting yo-yo effect. In some ways, it would be easier to guide a slinky down a spiral staircase the size of the Empire State Building than to predict what the financial sectors of the world are going to do next. That's why if your trust is in money, you may be better off attacking a grizzly bear with a BB gun. Because God truly is the only trustworthy person and power. His inventory is endless, yet people of the world continue to bankrupt themselves with heaven-ignoring, prayerless schemes that have fewer resiliencies than a toddler's sandcastle on the beach. Philanthropic men can boast life-saving statistics while shunning the Christ and the cross. News outlets can liberally speak of humanitarian deeds and projects while scoffing at religious institutions burdened to do the same thing. Angry antagonists of law and perverse order can diminish the godly man or woman with verbal assaults and degrading diatribes. But all of these things are proud waves, stayed at the shore of truth. Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." My friend, the only thing that's going to save you from the coming storms is a living hope, and that hope is Christ. That hope has an escape clause in it. Watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, Luke 21:36. The Word makes you worthy. The blood of Jesus washing you makes you worthy. The power of the name of Jesus applied to your life makes you worthy. You may feel trapped in the breakers of bitterness, swept over by thoughts of vengeance and hatred, but the love of God can free you. The affection of truth can take away the calloused areas of cynicism. The warmth of his touch can re-energize a dead sensitivity long numbed by lies and deception. destinies change when you give everything to God. And I'm not just returning, cut. And I'm not just referring to heaven and hell, although that would be motivation enough. But I speak of gates to a better understanding of yourself, your future, your true purpose on earth, without all the psychobabble of 21st century self-help soup. Instead of living a life fighting against the waves, you can begin to ride the waves, waves of liberty to transport you from heartbreak to testimony, waves of love that transport you from bad childhood memories to forgiveness, waves of joy that transport you from loneliness and isolation to belonging and acceptance, waves of deliverance that transport you from past addictions to new powers of resistance and self-respect, waves of power that transport you from weaknesses and self-deprecating vulnerabilities to spiritual confidence, waves of dignity that transport you from shallow places of frivolous self-destruction to self-discipline and deep faith. You may wonder how to discover these waves. Well, Jesus once said to his believers, his true believers, that they would have a divine expression revealed in their lives, that out of their bellies would flow rivers of living water. He spoke of an experience so deep, so intimate with him, that life would replace the stagnant, refreshing would replace the dead, and the exhilarating would replace the boring and the dull. Hope would replace the dread, and salvation would replace the emptiness and ongoing sense of lost. Would you pray with me now? Lord, I pray for someone listening to this message, someone who has recently been swept over by waves of anxiety. I pray, God, that you would replace their fear today with the perfect love, with truth, with that sacrifice of Jesus on an old rugged cross, for the blood of Jesus was spilled, and yet hope rivers were formed. I pray today, right now, for somebody who's being overwhelmed by waves of guilt. They don't know what to do with it. They've tried drinking, they've tried drugs, they've tried promiscuity, but none of these things are working. What they need are the waves of peace and joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory. What they need today, God, is a river of the Holy Ghost that would flow out of them, waves of peace and salvation that they could ride all the way to heaven. I pray for somebody right now that could be sitting in their car listening to this, or who has downloaded this as an MP3 onto their MP3 player, listening to this and wondering, well, what are the next steps? What do I need to do? I pray, God, that you would lead them to the fountain of hope and the Word of God, to the wells of salvation, where they could repent of their sins, where they could come to an Acts 2:38 experience of baptism in the name of Jesus and being filled with that incredible gift of the Holy Ghost, that they would find out about that promise that you spoke of, a promise that you left your disciples some 2,000 years ago, and yet a promise that is still just as fresh and real and new today as it's ever been. I pray that somebody will be able to ride the waves of deliverance out of their prisons of self-destruction, of self-deprecation, of constant vulnerabilities to sin. God, that they would find an escape route through your word and in your grace. In Jesus' name.
But when life puts Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thehopezone.com. At thehopezone.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including Hope and Anchor, Something to Hold On To in Tough Times. Hope and Anchor will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. So order your copy today by visiting thehopezone.com.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to today's message of hope, and we certainly pray that you've been inspired by what you've heard, that maybe some door of hope is open for you. We want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to A Message of Hope. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about A Message of Hope, visit thehopezone.com. That's thehopezone.com.